We're just okay and we play some movies. Games. We're just okay.
Movie watchers.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Just Okay Movies. I'm your host, welcome to primetime bitch Biggie Size, and I'm joined by...
Oh, badass mohawk bitch with two switchblades, Guido.
Hey, Guido, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Hey, I'm curious, have you seen the new Halloween film or any of the other horror films that are out in theaters right now?
I have not. I'd like to.
I kind of would also. It seems like the Halloween's been, the remake now has been pretty well accepted. I haven't seen anything like real negative about it.
Yeah. Have you watched the previous Halloweens?
I have not.
I don't know why I asked that.
I don't know why I asked. Dude, I feel like every time I have to say no to a classic that I have not seen, I just disappoint everyone who listens to this pod. Because I get messages. Just today, I got a message from Gotsu, one of our listeners, and also a contributor to our Star Trek pod that we do on here as well. And she was like, you have not seen Lost Boys. And I just like died a little bit inside. Like, I just let another person down.
That's okay, man. You know, some of us had, enclosed childhoods where we were just in our basements watching movies because that's what we had. And others had what I assume is probably active social lives. And I'm referring to you, of course.
That's a very kind assumption that you're making. No, I never really watched a lot of like movies and even TV shows because like my sisters would just hog the TV all the time. And like on my little TV, I didn't have cable or a VCR or anything set to it. I just had my consoles. So I just sat and played games and just kind of listened to whatever they were watching, which is like something on Disney or Nickelodeon or whatnot. So I kind of blame that, maybe a little bit. But now in this day and age, and I have high-speed internet, I don't have an excuse. And I will have to say, making this pod, one of the reasons I wanted to do it was I enjoy film, but I get too, I guess, complacent, where I'm like, Alien, I'm sure it's good, everyone loves it, but I'll watch it sometime. I'm like, no. It's time to quit putting it off. Got to sit down and watch them.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to have. I'm curious, though. We're more than halfway through. Well, I guess three quarters of the way through this horror month. Is the horror genre, is it growing on you? Or are you still kind of like, I'll take it or leave it?
It's definitely growing on me, and kind of what we talked about before. Over the past couple of years, I've kind of opened up to the horror genre and wanted to get more into it. Just from random films I had seen, like Cabin in the Woods, or like the remake of the Jason film, and just some other ones here and there. I'm like, this is kind of good. Maybe I'm kind of warming up to it, and just haven't made it back to the classics, that really kind of set the definition of what a horror film is, or at least during that time period. And it's the time I really need to get back there and see those. And I mean, speaking of which, this week we watched a Nightmare on Elm Street film, the third one, Dream Warriors, which I've always heard, we've talked about it before, is the popular one, the one other than the original that people point to as being one of the defining moments of the series. And I don't even know how many Nightmare on Elm Street films are there, like five or six? Not including the remake?
Yeah, there's quite a few. There's quite a few. It's a franchise that's steeped in history, Wes Craven, of course, created the original one. Wes Craven, the horror legend. He stepped away for the second one, and whoever took over that one didn't understand Freddy because it's a possession film. Like, there's not dream sequences, really. If there are, it's from the main protagonist that's dreaming about becoming Freddy. the people that made the second one, they didn't get the vision of the first one. But then it comes back, and Wes Craven wrote the first draft of Dream Warriors. And then another famous, legendary writer and director took over and touched up the script, and that's Frank Darabont. So he had his hand in this.
Very familiar. What's he known for?
He made the number one movie on IMDb's top movies of all time, Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, he made Shawshank, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow, no, so, that's fascinating. So was this one of his like real early films?
He's been around for quite a while. He's an older man. So I wouldn't say, you know, middle of his career, I guess. Early middle.
Was this before Shawshank?
Yes, much before Shawshank.
Okay, I thought so. Yeah.
Have you not seen Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, yes, I have. Okay. I can at least say I have seen that, and I love every second of it.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that. That's very fascinating. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, for the second one, is that where, like, the guy who plays as Freddy, he's like, he plays himself through part of it?
I can't remember. I went on a marathon about 7 to 10 years ago and watched all of these. So that's what I'm banking on in my memory. I remember there, like, a kid was, he kept waking up with the sweats, and he kept seeing Freddy, kept, like, looking down, and his hand was the glove. I remember him riding a school bus, and it turns out he was driving him into, like, some chasm. It was almost like a mental thriller kind of movie, where this guy's just, like, coming to terms with the evil entity that's inside of him.
Interesting.
But it's not good. It's not good. It's one of the worst of the Freddies. Just because it, like, takes everything that's Freddy and removes it. And maybe because it was such a new film or new franchise that, like, they watch A Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one, they're like, oh, this is great. And audiences ate that up. Like, that came out in, what, 1981, I think?
Okay.
And audiences gobbled it up, made millions of dollars. And they're like, we got to get more money, money, money. And then they made two. And Wes Craven didn't want anything to do with two. And so they got another guy to write the script. And whoever they got was just like, well, I like that, but let's do some more possession kind of shit. And then Wes Craven, after seeing that and was vocally disappointed, was like, all right, guys, I got this. And comes back for Dream Warriors. And he wrote the first draft. That's all he did. And the first draft is supposedly very, like, dark, way darker than what we saw in Dream Warriors. Because Dream Warriors has those funny quips. And it's Robert Englund, too, like, ad-libbing a lot of stuff. Pretty much all of his one-liners were ad-libbed. They're like, the director would, you know, focus on Freddy doing whatever he was doing, and they'd do about 10 takes of him saying a line, and say different lines, and they'd take the one that worked best. Get ready for primetime, or welcome to primetime, bitch. That was ad-libbed.
Really?
You know? Yeah, and that's like the focal catch line of the movie.
So good. I loved it. Well, let's jump straight into this movie then. I've been very excited to watch it. I'm happy we picked it for this series that we're doing. And I've got to say, the pacing was a little slower than I expected, but not in a bad way. I kind of expected it to be a little more fast-paced, more, I guess, the kill count to be a little bit higher than it was. But it's really a film that kind of lets it, you know, the dialogue and the story kind of breathe a little bit. There's only 5 or 6 people that actually die in the film. Maybe it's less than that. I can't quite remember. There's not a lot of death. And even the times that it happens, you know, some of them are a little more elaborate than others. But they really do kind of keep Freddy on a, I guess, more of a leash than I expected. And really let the other characters kind of build the story around these kids. Who everyone thinks they're crazy for thinking of this person, but you've got the one lady from the original film that has lived through it and knows they're, you know, that they should be scared, and it's just trying to convince the others that this is really going on. And that really took its time more than I expected.
Yeah, it's a slower pace. That, I mean, if you want, the very first one was very slow paced also. A different kind of town because they're still trying to work out Freddy as being like the lichpin character. He had little quips and stuff that he'd say in the first one, but it wasn't as over the top as in this one, as in Dream Warriors. The Dream Warriors is the one where Freddy becomes the Freddy that we know and love.
Ah, interesting. So he's a little less, I don't know, campy, I guess, for lack of a better word. In the first one, he's a little more serious.
Yeah, he's just more of this looming kind of unknown character. You know, they play it a lot slower in, like, you know, kids are waking up and they have cuts on their arms and stuff. There's the nightmare sequences, and they're all cut by, in the first one, they're all cut by, like, these fog, like, transitions and stuff. Whereas this one is interesting. It does away with that. It's, like, almost all of the transitions into dreams were, like, these hard transitions where you don't, the audience isn't really supposed to know if it's a dream or not. You know?
Interesting. Very interesting. I will have to say, those moments are very satisfying, especially, I mean, we've already talked about it, but the primetime bitch part where she's just sitting on the couch watching TV, and then she goes up to bang on it because it's messing up, and then his arms just break out of the sides, his head pops out on the top. It's creepy because you kind of don't expect it. You know something might be happening, but you don't expect it to be that elaborate.
Yeah. It's these so robot, wonderful, like, robotic television arms that come out and grab her and pick her up. And then his head, like, stretches out of the top of the screen. And he's got the rabbit ears on top, the antenna.
Right.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it's so good. Like, all of the practical effects in this are so well done and just make you feel warm inside. And it even creeps you out because it's real. You know, someone made that and you could see it just happening as if you were there. Unlike, you know, some CGI. It's better now than it used to be, but still nothing beats a practical, real effect. And even the one scene with the other main girl, who's the younger one, I guess her thing is she can pull people in the dreams or into the same dream. Was that her power?
Yeah, Kristen was her name.
I didn't feel like they... And I guess let me back up. The film begins with this girl, Kristen, and she's dealing with Freddy. And another part later in the film, she's able to pull other people into those same dreams and also pull other people into other people's dreams so that way they can fight Freddy and try to save each other. You know, having more people to go after him and things like that. And I feel like they didn't explain that very well, but one part in particular, like, Freddy comes out like a worm, and it's so nicely done. I'm sure it was a miniature they just cut together to make it look like it was this massive.
It wasn't.
Thing. Really? That was full an size, actual full...
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
It's amazing because apparently the girl... Patricia Arquette, who plays Kristen, she, like, gets halfway swallowed up by this Freddy worm that pops out of the ground. Remember that? And she got injured.
True.
She got injured while they were filming because they were, like, lifting her up and banging her down.
Really?
Yeah, so she was inside this full-size Freddy Krueger worm that was built on the set.
That is fascinating because the thing is... It looks fantastic, first of all. Super creepy and gross, but it's so well detailed. And it's, like, moving around fairly quickly and like, talking to her. I can't remember if he says something, but, like, the face looks just like Freddy's. I can't believe that was, like, actual, like, full size. I figured most of that was just, like, a miniature they were using. That's incredible. I mean, that alone takes... I can imagine building a prop like that and then making it work. How they did it, especially back then.
There's a documentary on Netflix, or at least it was, where they go, and it's like 4.5 hours long, and they talk about each movie as it was made. And they have all this interesting practical effects, like behind the scenes stuff. And the first one, do you know how Johnny Depp dies? Have you ever seen the clip or anything? The first one?
Yes. Isn't that the one where he's in the bed and like his stomach shoots open or something like that?
Well, he gets sucked into the bed and then the bed spews out blood into the room. Like volcanically erupts blood. And the way they did that is super fascinating because they built the entire set upside down. And then they had a giant vat on top of the bed with a hole in the bed. And then they opened up the vat of blood and then had it dump out and then flipped the filming of it for the final cut.
Oh my
God. So you're actually watching blood pour down out of this upside down set, but it's all flipped. It's amazing. They do so much crazy practical effects in these movies.
I mean, that's just the times, man. Like, you know, that's all you had, and I just missed that so much. Like hearing stuff like that, or even watching the making of like the original Star Wars, like especially with the Death Star, like outside shots, like the amount of timing and stuff they had to do for the explosions. Like there's one scene I see all the time where it's showing them outside and they're just using this truck and put the camera on the back of it and they're driving by real quick. And you see the explosions, I guess, where blaster fires hitting the outside of the Death Star. And it's great because someone had to sit and make that. And then they had to time it perfectly with those like little sparks and things like that. You just don't get that anymore. And it warms your heart when you see it. Like someone worked their ass off to make that work. And same thing with that scene. It's just absolutely incredible. So
it makes it more real too.
Yes.
Like, there's one instance, we were watching it in Discord, as we've been doing for the past few weeks. If you're not there, you're square. And there's this one scene where one of the kids is in bed, and Freddy shows up above him, and then, like, rips the tendons out of his feet and his arms.
Oh, yeah.
And you could hear everybody in Discord, they're like, ugh, you know, cringing, because it looked that cool. And it, like, brought you into that. It was way better than any CGI could do.
Definitely. So creative, too. All the deaths in there, even though there's not that many, I would have liked a little bit more, and maybe that's just my expectations going into it. But the ones that you do get, like that one, like the TV one, or even her almost getting eaten alive, are so nice in like how creative they are. I even kind of like the one with the wheelchair kid. There's this kid, he's in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the waist down. And he's in a dream, and he's in this tight hallway, but he's standing, because in his dreams, he makes himself stand. And Freddy, like, sends this souped-up, like, spiky death metal wheelchair going straight at him down the hallway. And even something simple like that, which probably was one of the more simplistic ones of the movie, was still great in how creepy it was, and how the whole room, the wheelchair itself, all of it was real. So I can't say enough about having scenes with practical effects in real environments is so much creepier than anything your computer can render. And I kind of feel like that's what made some of those films in the past so much more interesting than what we consider horror films today. And there's definitely notable exceptions, like It Follows, that all that, and mainly it's because of budget, all of it was real sets, probably very, very little CGI because they didn't have the money for it. But it just adds so much to that tension and just makes you feel like you're there with them. I just love it. It's so well done.
Yeah. So horror movies today are even still the one that they're the bells of the ball when it comes to practical effects. You know, just think of any horror movie that was made in the past decade and try and spot out any of the CGI. It's there, blood spurts or maybe like some sort of mystical wraith or something. But if it involves monsters or something, it's most likely going to be practical effects. Even think Cabin in the Woods. Like all sure. that, with all of the monsters in that were makeup artists spent hours building that on a person's face. And then, you know, there's more modern ones like Quiet Place, where the monsters are all CGI, and that it takes me out of it. Like, I know my brain knows that I'm watching something fake. You know, it doesn't put like a spatial awareness around it. It, like, I can't formulate my brain around CGI horror.
Sure.
But practical effects, it's there. It's real life. You could touch it. You know that the people in the movie are touching it. So it just makes it more scary.
Right. Right. No, totally agree. And it makes your film age better. I mean, still, going back to Star Wars, you know, it's every, you know, 10 years or so, it's starting to look a little bit more dated, but having actual models and everything looks so much better than, like, look at The Phantom Menace, where it's starting to, you know, still that movie's 18 years old compared to over 30 years for the first, for New Hope, but Phantom Menace looks terrible because of the CGI, because it just looks so dated, you know, it dates itself. And, whereas I thought, Nightmare on Elm Street 3 looked pretty good. I mean, you know, the style of clothing and everything definitely dates it. But as you said, the practical effects, like with him, you know, being held around with Freddy being the puppeteer, was, it looked real. And that film being getting close to 30 years old, I guess, at this point, is just amazing. It's so well done. So what's your favorite part of this film?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, can I talk about my least favorite part?
Please do. I want to hear it.
So there's this whole side story within it that feels so tacked on. And you could tell it was a time of the franchise, like where people were like, there might have been some press and hubbub, you know, in the tabloids or whatever, like, ooh, let's find out more about Freddy. And they included this weird subplot of Freddy's mother being involved.
Oh,
who is
a
nun that shows up and like talks to one of the psychiatrists that are helping all the kids, and nobody ever sees him, and she's just giving these cryptic clues as to who she is and how to like fight him. And it's just like, it's all tacked on strangely, where you don't even need any of it.
Right. And it doesn't really help at all, like, figure out the plot. Like, at least not that I can remember. Like, she doesn't help them figure out how to... Well, or does she? Does she help them figure out how to stop Freddy? I can't remember how that part came
about. I think
about.
She said something about burying the bones on hallowed ground.
Okay, so she's the one who shared that.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's ultimately what they have to do in the end, is get Freddy's bones, which the original people who killed Freddy are still around, and they know where they buried him, and it was in a junkyard in the back of a Cadillac. And so what they have to do is get those bones out and throw the holy water on the ground and bury them, and that will kill Freddy forever. And that's also another weird scene, is with the skeleton coming to life. I felt like that kind of broke some rules. Like, you had these solid, perfect rules that he can only kill you if you're in a dream. Perfect. Wonderful. I love it. I love every bit of that. But when they get the bones out of the caddy, they, like, form back to a person, and they start fighting psychiatrist guy and the other guy who's the dad of the original girl, and actually kills the dad and almost kills the psychiatrist. It just felt so weird. Like, at first I thought, okay, somehow they fell asleep, which is, first of all, how in the world did they fall asleep when they just drove into there? But that could have been a cool, like, plot thing. Like, they fell asleep, like, way back somewhere else, and that whole thing was a dream that they were doing. That would have been kind of cool. But no, it was real life, and it just forms back to a skeleton and starts fighting them. It went a tad off the rails there, and I wasn't sure what to think of it. But I agree. That part, as well as the nun, was, it slowed the film down, because every time the nun showed up, The psychiatrist guy was talking to her for like at least 5 to 7 minutes about a bunch of stuff that didn't matter. And it just slowed the film down.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the not so great parts. Yeah, I agree with the skeleton, Freddy's skeleton coming back. And he's doing like fucking kung fu moves on him and shit.
It reminded me of, what's that, Jason the Argonauts or whatever that film was called where he fights the skeletons and that. It reminded me of that. I think that's what that film was called. But it didn't look great. And it didn't really help the story other than killing the dad, which didn't really matter at all. Didn't serve the plot at all. Other than just, the only thing it did was slow down their progression of killing Freddy while Freddy had all the kids in the dream and was kind of getting the upper hand at that point. That's what that scene did. And that makes sense. And it's forgivable to a degree. But it could have been done in a more interesting way, and it just felt so out of place. Like, almost like they shot it, and maybe it had to do more with another scene, and they just needed to either pad out the running time, or they just didn't have any other film to kind of make this go together, so they just threw it in there. Like, it felt like it should have been a cut piece of film from, you know, you would see in extras. But it just didn't work.
There's one scene that I wish they would have added.
What's that?
So they are in the dream world and they're fighting Freddy and they spray the holy water on him, right? And he turns into a big pile of light and they beat him, right? They take him out.
Yes. Yes.
I wanted a scene where they woke up in the room that they were in. And then there's just those corpses of those other kids that were killed by Freddy in the room with him. Because Freddy, it's a whole montage of them, like, they get split up inside the dream, and then Freddy takes them out one by one. And I think, well, the wheelchair kid and the Mohawk girl. They definitely died. I'm trying to think if there's any others. I don't think there is. But they would wake up. There had to be a point where they woke up and they're sitting next to the corpses of the two other fallen kids.
Agreed. Yes.
But instead, they just do like a cut to the psychiatrist sleeping on his bed, right? Oh, no, they go straight to a funeral where Nancy's dead.
Right. Ugh. Yeah, that would have been more interesting. I completely agree.
Then they have to suffer the loss of Nancy too again when they wake up. The deaf kid, Kristen, and Kincaid, I think his name was. The big black kid. Who was great comic relief. Because anytime he was prompted, pretty much, he'd just go into a very stereotypical, like, black man rant about what was going on. Like, I'm going to kill that motherfucker. He thinks he's coming around these parts. He's going to have to fucking fight me, that piece of shit. And everybody's kind of like, all right, Kincaid, we get it.
Yeah, he was, I really liked him. Really, all the kids in the film were great. And they just, you know, you had all the tropes, the nerdy ones, the tough girl who's done drugs one, and the kind of normal one. You had all of them there on display and they were all great. And you kind of can't necessarily get attached to any one in particular, but you don't want to see him die either. And so they did a good job on that as well. But really, I have a hard time. I'm really having a hard time, like, either critiquing anything about this film, because it's solid. It's a solid, I could definitely see why it's considered to be a classic. You know, it has everything you would want. The villain's interesting. The rules are perfect and well executed. All the scenes, for the most part, help move the plot along in some form or fashion. I could definitely see why this is a classic, and it's got me very interested in going back and seeing the first one and maybe even seeing the remake, because I'm just kind of interested in seeing whoever that actor is from Watchmen play that role, And,
sure.
But I could definitely see why, like what you said, that you can't beat Robert Englund because he's creepy. And that voice is, whew, it makes you shiver a little bit.
It's so good. And what I like to do when I'm watching these older slasher horrors, especially these classics, is just try to picture yourself as like a 17 or 18 year old kid going to the theater opening weekend to watch it and just being astounded and being so scared.
Sure.
Because I remember watching Freddy on TV when I was younger. Like, we had a black box, so we'd get all the legal cable channels. And I remember waking up early with my friend at a sleepover, and we snuck down and we watched Freddy, and I was so scared. So scared. And it was this one death scene where there's a deaf kid, and he's in Freddy's boiler room, and Freddy takes out a cotton swab and like a giant Q-tip. He's like, "Time to clean the ears," and he jams it into his head.
What the fuck? Wow.
Freddy's so great. He's one of my favorite monster movie villains ever.
I can totally see that. And you know what? I think, yes, the only film I had seen, I don't know if you included it or not, because I was very excited to watch it when it came out, was Freddy vs. Jason. And maybe it's just because I never saw any of those films, but I knew the characters, and the characters by themselves were so interesting. And getting to see two iconic characters in the same room kind of fighting, it was a bit of a letdown. It was mostly to see boobs and some gore.
It's an interesting movie.
It is.
Oh, go for it.
Oh, no, I'll say it to me, like, not having any ties to any of the franchises, definitely not getting to have a cool experience like you did and, getting those goosebumps and being scared by that stuff, because Freddy vs. Jason is very silly. I would not call it scary at all. There's some cool death scenes, but it's played up for yucks, and that's what it should be. But definitely, I think, had a good portrayal of both characters, and I guess in their most campy state. And it's probably what got me a little more interested in learning more about those characters. And I think this movie really helped kind of see the more serious side, even though this is, as you said, considered to be the more campy one of the series, but still seeing a more serious side of that character. And I love it.
Yeah. And Freddy vs. Jason is an interesting film in itself, in that they're two completely separate entities in how they get their scares, you know?
Oh, sure.
Jason, he does this stalking thing where you never know if he's nearby. He's in the shadows. He moves quietly. He pops out of a closet and cuts you down. And Freddy's on the complete opposite end, where he's verbose and he's talking and he's painting these pictures for you of just like how horrible your dreams are going to be. And he doesn't try to hide it, you know? And it's an interesting take watching Freddy versus Jason after you've like gotten to know those characters, because they do mix them up pretty good in hitting both of their tones in that movie.
Yes, definitely. Because I think in one part, I guess it's the big fight is when Freddy pulls Jason into a dream. I think that's the part where the kids actually knock Jason out and he's unconscious. And then Freddy goes into his dream and they fight in their boiler room, you know, the classic boiler room.
Yeah.
And they did do a very good job trying to play by the rules of both characters. And it's, I guess in a way, it's kind of a great introduction to both characters for that point. As you said, you know, Jason's the stalker. I guess you would say the more what you would view as being a killer. You know, he's stalking, he'll creep up on you and just murder you, and you just can't stop him. Whereas Freddy is a little more elaborate in how he does his kills. And it is kind of cool seeing both of those different, I guess, methods going against each other and fighting. So, totally. I recommend Freddy versus Jason. Check it out. It's a fun time. And I think I would also recommend Nightmare on Elm Street 3. it's a lot of fun. Definitely can see why it's a classic.
Yeah, that's why like horror movies are so great, because even if they're bad, they can be fun, you know? And I wouldn't put Dream Warriors as one of the best movies ever made. I wouldn't even really call it a good movie. But it's fun.
Yes.
And it gets away with it. You forget about how all the stuff that's missing just because you're watching it and you're having fun.
Yes. Agreed. Throughout the film, I don't think I ever had a dull moment during it. You know, the atmosphere, the feeling of the film, the pacing, although maybe a hair slower than I would like, still, it's a good, well put together film. I agree. Not a great film, but for what you would be wanting when going in to see that film, I think it delivers. And I think that's all it has to do. And that's good enough for me, at least. But
two thumbs up from Biggie and Guido.
It's no Monster Squad. I wasn't crying at the end.
Sure.
But I think that one's still my jewel right now of the films we've watched so far. But it's definitely a film I would recommend anyone watching. Absolutely.
It's like the Monster Squad grew up and got addicted to drugs. And the fat kid broke his legs and he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Pretty much what
I can see that. I can see that. Man, that one part, I guess I'll jump back to the character a little bit. The girl with the mohawk, the one that has the drug problem, in her dream, Freddy is going against her in like this alleyway, and she's like all like, what would you call her outfit? Like super punk. And she's got two knives, and she's like fighting him, and she's actually kind of winning to a degree. And then Freddy brings up her drug problem. Like he says something like, "You want to hang out with your friends?" And he's just like, "Let's get high." I was like, "Oh my god, this is fantastic!" And his signature glove with all the knives turn into needles, and like the spots in her arm, which they do mention earlier in the film of where she was injecting herself, start like opening up like mouths, like they're hungry, and I was like, this is far out, and I love it. And that's how he kills her. He basically drug overdoses her in her dream, and she dies. And that attention to detail, although how as silly as it is, but just having that kind of callback really makes this film so damn charming. And so if that interests you at all, just that little scene or any of the other little scenes we've talked about with those deaths, you definitely watch this film. It's wonderful. You'll have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, Guido, we've got ourselves another voicemail, and I am pumped to see what it contains. Can you go ahead and play that for us?
Oh, absolutely. Here it is.
Hey, Just Looking Movies. Elsewhere out here. I, again, didn't watch this week's movie either, but my question is, what do you think of the horror genre as like a title? Do you think it's like too broad? I guess like my thought is like a lot of like movies that get labeled as horror are not really intended to be all that scary, like monster movies sometimes. It's like a spectacle. But anyway, just let me know what you think. Thanks. Have a good time. Bye.
Oh, Ty, wonderful question. Thank you so much for asking that. And I think we've actually have discussed this a little bit. I think we brought up a couple episodes ago. It's strange, like how much when you say a horror film, how broad that category can be. And, we mentioned that, under the banner of horror, you could have things that are like almost like torture porn or maybe a little more drama than horror or suspense. It could definitely break down into subcategories. So I would definitely say just saying horror can have a different meaning to a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. I would liken it to, it is very broad, but it's as broad as, say, a romantic movie or an action movie,
A drama.
There's subgenres for each one.
Of course. completely agree. And I would totally agree. It's broad. Now, I will say, when you're pointing to like specific movies that would fit under that category, wherever you would put it, like talk about Nightmare on Elm Street, calling that a horror film, I think is totally appropriate because, I mean, I guess you could break it down if you wanted to, and definitely time can kind of change where you would categorize something. Like, that's what Guido said when he was younger, watching something like Nightmare on Elm Street freaked him the fuck out, and rightfully so. So you may even kind of categorize that as being more of like a gore fest or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Whereas today you might watch it and be like, it's not really that scary. It's, you know, maybe it's more of like a suspense thriller with some horror elements in it. You know, it can definitely change by time, and all of it's completely subjective. I'm not totally sure if you could, you know, you can make an objective argument, but I think ultimately it's going to depend on the person. But yeah, calling a film like that a horror film, I think is very appropriate. But I would totally agree with your point that it's a broad category. And like, for instance, you talk about the Paranormal Activity films. You could make an argument it's horror, but I would say it'd be more of a suspense thriller, which could also fit under horror. So it's madness. It's I think it's a never-ending rabbit hole that you could just keep going down and down and never come up with a conclusion. Look, but it's a fun argument to have.
Fucking Schindler's List is a horrifying movie.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I even think like Judd Apatow films. Like, are they comedies? Are they dramas? You know, this is just a... It kind of works in any film category. It's hard to always pin it down to one. It kind of can come down to personal preference on what you consider to be a horror film, because God, Schindler's List, I totally agree. You could easily call it a horror film, and it's a real life horror film, which makes it even more freaky.
Yeah.
And sad.
But I think it just, like, if its sole intention is to try and scare you, it's a horror movie. That's kind of how you put it.
Yeah.
Whether they succeed or not isn't part of it. But like Monster Squad, it was trying to scare kids, you know. I'd put it in a horror movie. And if it's trying to scare you, it's fucking horror, dude.
I think that is definitely a fair yardstick to use for that. So thank you so much, Ty. Really appreciate that question. And thank you for listening, man. Well, we are coming up to our last film of this Halloween season, and I think everyone's pretty excited about watching it. And I'm pumped because it's been a long time coming. And we will be reviewing next week the hit Ridley Scott film, Alien. And I've gotten so many questions about if you like the film, is Ridley Scott still a hack in your eyes? And, you know, that's a great question. And it's one I guess we'll have to find out next week. And if you want to join us to watch it, which you certainly should, every week we've had a blast getting together and watching this the films that we've been reviewing. Get on Discord, man. Come on, join us. Go to discord.gg/justokgamers. Join the community. There's a bunch of good people there, and I know you'll have a great time. Even if movies aren't your thing and you're just listening to this for fun, people are playing games all the time. Get on there, hang out, have a good time. And hey, if you've got a question for us about any film we've talked about, any other topic you'd like to discuss about movies, shoot us an email at justokmovies@gmail.com. Also, shoot us a tweet at justokmovies. And I believe we'll be watching it on probably Monday, unless something changes. So if you want to find out, I'll make sure, and something I haven't done is send a tweet out for when we're watching the movies. I'll definitely tweet it out, but if you want to know right when they start, hop on Discord, man. You won't regret it.
Mondays seem to be the day.
Yeah. You know, everyone's got stuff going on during the weekends, but, you know, Monday, you're kind of getting back into the work week, and, you know, you want to have something to look forward to on a Monday. Yeah. And I definitely thank you, Fruity. You have been a gem, as always, and I greatly appreciate you hosting these. And he's even expressed interest in just doing random viewings during the normal time when maybe we're not reviewing a movie. So if you just like to watch them in a group, please hop on. You'll love it. Well, Guido, I'm really looking forward to Alien. I've been so pumped to get to this point. I guess I've never really asked. Do you enjoy the movie Alien?
I enjoy it, but I don't enjoy it as much as some other people.
Interesting.
You'll see. Its pace is pretty slow. And you're the one talking about pace, so.
I think that's the part that worries me the most going into it, is unless it's done correctly, I can get really bored if a movie takes its time. Like, I mean, even if you point to, like, Mandy, there were points where it was taking its time, maybe a little too much to my liking, but still love the atmosphere. So that's something I'm kind of hoping going into this, that the atmosphere makes up for the slow pace. And yeah. I would say probably an easy bet would be I would love Aliens more than Alien, but I want to go in order for this one because I love sci-fi. Huge fan. The Alien monster is an iconic sci-fi thing, and I feel like as being a fan of the whole sci-fi genre, this is something I really need to do. So please join us. We cannot wait. Well, hey, you guys have a great rest of your evening, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye.